Hello, this is Eric Lee from Labor Start, and this week we're very happy to have as our guest Nick McWilliam from Justice for Colombia, who has just come back from visiting trade unions in Colombia, and Labor Start's own David Isaacs, who is an intern with us. He's studying at the Global Labor University in Germany. Welcome, Nick and David.
Thanks, Eric. It's good to be with you.
Hello, Eric.
Okay, hi guys. I'm going to let David who is in fact Colombian and knows the situation there, to ask Nick the first question. Go ahead, David.
First of all, thank you, Nick, for your job. Colombia is a country that has been considered dangerous for the trade union movement. However, it has a new government that has expressed its support for trade unions. What do you think, or what do you consider to be the great challenge for the current president to strengthen the Colombian trade unionism? What do you think?
Thanks for the question, David. Of course, Justice for Colombia was founded in 2002 by the British trade union movement as a direct response to the extraordinary high levels of violence facing trade unionists in Colombia. At the time, it was the by far the most dangerous country in the world for trade unionists, and that is still the case today. Of course, Colombia, there have been many cases for optimism, particularly around the 2016 peace agreement between the Colombian states and the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, the FARC, which Justice for Colombia advised on and has provided international observation and support for. And then, of course, in 2022, the election of the trade union-backed candidate, Gustavo Petro, who is now the first progressive president in Colombian history, and also the first who has worked as closely with the union movement as he does. And the union movement has been one of the government's main supporters. That's not to say that everything in Colombia is resolved. When you're talking about decades of oligarchic corporate violence enacted against many sectors of the population, workers, indigenous population, the peasant farmer population, African Colombians, students, activists, environmental activists, LGBT activists, academics, journalists, and so on. Anybody who put their head above the parapet to demand fairer social conditions, to criticize publicly the repressive state apparatus has always been threatened in Colombia. And of course, trade unionists have always been at some of the most prominent voices. Just to give you an idea of the level of violence, over the last 40 years, more trade unionists have been murdered in Colombia than the rest of the world put together. That gives you an idea of the levels of violence. Back in the early 2000s, when Justice for Colombia was founded, it was something like 80 to 100 were murdered each year. Currently, in the last few years, according to research published annually by the International Trade Union Confederation, the ITUC, it's around 20 per year. The figure has come down, but it is still the most dangerous country in the world for trade unionists in terms of how many are being killed. And as a result, the trade union movement has been significantly weakened. Only around 4% of private sector workers and around 12 to 15% of public sector workers are unionized in Colombia. Compare that with Argentina, where it's around 40% of workers, although obviously with Milei, there's going to be a tax on that movement, or Uruguay, where it's around 50% of workers. And you can see the damage done to Colombia. That has been exacerbated by very anti-union legislation put forward by right-wing neoliberal governments, consecutive governments. Now, obviously, the violence against trade unionists is intended to weaken the movement, and it has been successful in doing that. So, but ending the violence against trade unionists is one about protecting lives, of course, but two about strengthening the movement and then improving labor conditions, labor rights for millions of working people in Colombia. And that is the fundamental challenge that faces the government, and the trade union movement. Now, last year, the government of Gustavo Petro and his labor minister, a woman called Gloria Ramirez, who is herself a very prominent trade unionist in Colombia and the former president of the FECODE Teachers Federation, now in charge of the labor ministry, they presented labor reforms in Congress. And these are very significant reforms. They look to address many of the conditions that we are familiar with in countries such as Britain, where I am, in Germany, where you are, David, and Eric, are you in the United States? I'm not sure. But in kind of wealthier capitalist countries that workers, the struggles that workers have faced in these countries, overtime, health and safety, maternity, ending gender pay gaps, which is as much for all of these issues are as much for problems in Colombia as they are elsewhere. But on top of that, you have the brutal attacks on the trade union movement, which have also been levels of aggression, which have been encouraged by far right political senators, Congress members, high profile politicians who consistently stigmatize the trade union movement, particularly around things like the education union's response to the COVID pandemic, the health union's response, demanding biosecurity measures for their members to return to work, for students to return to work. This has seen them face extraordinarily high levels of stigmatization, of public attacks by far-right politicians with very high media profiles, in a context in which members of those same unions are being killed with some regularity. So getting this labor reform passed will not resolve all of the problems facing Colombia's workers. You know, the neoliberal system in Colombia, the oligarchic violence waged throughout Colombia, and, you know, going back to the 19th century against the popular sectors, the working class sectors and the rural sectors, you know, trying to fix these problems is going to take far, far longer than the 4 years that Gustavo Petro has in power. But getting the labor reform passed in Congress is a important step. The issue the government faces is that it lacks a majority in Congress. So getting the sufficient number of votes to pass the reform is proven to be a challenge, particularly because the political right still has a powerful bloc in Congress, particularly with the Democratic Center Party of the former presidents Álvaro Uribe and Iván Duque, both of whom enacted very hard right, militaristic, neoliberal administrations. And last year, towards the end of last year, the labor reform was actually blocked in Congress. It didn't receive the necessary number of votes, so it was shelved. However, earlier in 2024, it might have been in December 2023, it was resubmitted, and a certain number of articles have now been approved to move on to the next stage. So there's hope that the labor reform can be revived. But in the immediate short term, the main challenge facing the government is getting the labor reform passed. And in that, it has broad support from the trade union movement. We were at the Congress of the COOTS, the main trade union federation. The Congress is held every 4 years, in which the labor reform, as well as the pension reforms and the health reforms, because of course those will also have massive impacts on workers, were at the very forefront of union organization. So those would be the main challenges in the short term, passing the labor reform. In the long term, of course, is breaking down the levels of inequality that make Colombia one of the most unequal countries in the world, and essentially, you know, really, really vital to end the violence against trade unionists so that the movement can be stronger, so that people are not discouraged from joining trade unions and standing up for their rights in the workplace.
Thanks very much for that, Nick. That's very interesting. I had two quick questions before we go. It used to be, if I got this correct, when they would report on human rights violations in Colombia and attacks on workers and trade unionists, it was not always from the far right. It was mostly from the far right. But I thought that FARC itself had been accused of attacking unions. Maybe I'm getting that wrong. And is that completely gone? Or are the only attacks that remain attacks now from the far right and the companies?
So, okay, so the historical context first. Okay, Colombia had a very long civil war, but research conducted by the Truth Commission, which released its reports in 2022, report that was part of the 2016 peace agreement found that the vast majority of killings, human rights abuses, particularly attacks on trade unionists, were conducted by right-wing paramilitaries. It also came to the fact that the CIA was aware that the Colombian military was involved in attacks on trade unionists while the US was funding the Colombian military. So the US continued to provide funding under the Plan Colombia aid or military aid package, even though their own intelligence revealed to them that the paramilitaries were targeting trade unionists, accusing them of being guerrillas or of being linked to guerrillas. That's not to say, of course, that the FARC didn't carry out certain attacks on civilian populations. This is all documented in the Truth Commission and in the Transitional Justice Court, where the FARC is testifying and has accepted responsibility for its role in human rights violations during the armed conflict, in its commitment to bringing forward peace and truth and justice as a fundamental part of the process towards reconciliation.
Okay, thanks for that. I want to end on this. It's very encouraging, all what you've talked about, the new government and the proposed labor law reform. It sounds great. It's very worrying that Colombia is still so many trade unionists are being killed. What can people who are listening to this, who don't live in Colombia, what can they do to help?
So the international community has a very important role, you know, to support peace in Colombia. For example, the government that preceded Gustavo Petro under the hard right Ivan Duque attempted to basically dismantle the 2016 peace agreement. And that was only held together because the international community stepped up to the fore and said, you know, this peace agreement is vital. It must stay in place. Of course, it's the activists on the ground, the rural communities, the former guerrillas themselves who are most responsible for saving the agreement, but the international community played an important role. So lobbying your political representatives over supporting not only the 2016 peace agreement, but the government's total peace policy, which it is enacting currently, to seek new peace agreements with the many different armed groups that are currently active in Colombia, which emerge as a result of the former government's disregards to the peace agreement. That is one way, you know, keep active, make sure your political representatives are doing what they can to support peace in Colombia. If you're in a trade union, you can affiliate. If you're in Britain or Ireland, you can affiliate to Justice for Colombia and check in your countries if you have similar organizations where, you know, all our funding comes directly from unions, directly from working people. It is transparent. It is not tainted by private interests. So, you know, do affiliate through your unions or through political movements you might belong to. And another really, really important thing, of course, is to stay informed and to help other people stay informed. You know, there's a lot of disinformation around. Opponents of the government are putting out disinformation, trying to disrupt peace talks, trying to disrupt things like the labor reform that I've already discussed. And so making sure that you're staying reliably informed and helping other people stay informed is really important as well. And you can do that by supporting, by following Justice for Colombia on social media, on our website where we publish regular articles. And of course, you know, building links with unions and social organizations in Colombia through your unions is another important thing you can do.
And let me just add that you can also follow Colombian labor news on Labor Start, and we will have more and more stuff from Justice for Colombia, as well as from our new intern from Colombia. So we hope to have much better coverage, but Labor Start is a valuable resource of news about the labor movement in Colombia. Nick, David, thank you both very much for your time and for being here.
Thank you for the invitation. It's been really good to speak to you.
Great to speak to you.